Welcome to Pankinen Financial Perspective with Ashton Pankinen from Pankinen Financial Group. Planning for your financial future means navigating challenges like market volatility, inflation, and retirement income. Pankinen Financial Perspective is here to help by addressing common financial concerns, sharing valuable strategies, and exploring ways you can work toward your financial goals. Now let's get started with Pankinen Financial Perspective.
Hello and welcome to Pankinen Financial Perspective. My name is Ashton Pankinen from Pankinen Financial Group. If you'd like more information about what you hear during our show today, give us a call at 952-873-2703 or visit us online at PankinenFinancial.com. That's P-A-N-K-O-N-I-N Financial.com. And while at my website, click on the radio page to check out past shows and to subscribe to our program on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. Also, while on my page, click the link at the top to get the latest retirement guide. Here's a question I want to start with today. When most people think about retirement planning, what's the first thing that comes to mind? For most people, the answer is money, savings, whether those numbers add up, and that matters enormously because a financial foundation has to be there. But here's what's interesting. When you ask actual retirees what makes a retirement genuinely fulfilling, the answer gets a lot more complicated than just the balance sheet. Today, we're going to walk through 9 habits that research consistently ties to a happy retirement, and most of them have nothing to do with your account balance. Throughout the episode, we'll be discussing, highlighting, and referring to data and survey results from a recent Kiplinger article that's headlined, 9 Habits for Happy Retirement. I'm joined by my co-host, Tony Shore, who had a great time over this long Memorial Day weekend.
Well, great to be here, Ashton. Yeah. Thank you for that introduction. However, I don't know, great time.
I thought you love doing manual labor, Tony.
No, in fact, my allergies. I told my wife when she said, build this deck and screened in porch, you can do it yourself. I'm like, you forget about my allergies. She's like, what allergies? And I'm like, manual labor. I'm allergic to manual labor. But yeah, I worked starting Friday afternoon, all day Saturday, all day Sunday, and all day Monday. I mean, into the evening hours.
Yep.
Nonstop. Let me just say my back lifting, carrying 2x4s and lumber and oh my goodness. But luckily I hate painting and staining. Yep. And my wife and kids did all that.
Oh, nice. So,
but I just, you know, drilling, nailing, sawing. Yeah. You know, they say measure twice, cut once.
Yep.
I measured twice, then tried to assemble, then unassembled, and then cut a couple of more times, measured a couple more times, cut a couple more times. But yeah, a couple of mistakes were made, but I got it perfect. My problem is I want it, you know, relatively great. And yeah. So I kind of over, they're like, well, now you built a floor for a regular patio. We can all walk on it. It was just going to be for the cats, but now yep. it's turned into a full screened in porch project. So
well, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Yeah. That's where I'm at. What did you do over the holidays? You got out and did some yard. You saw some sun the way it looked, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We spent, I think, Saturday morning till Monday evening outside. Yeah. I got a lot of projects knocked out around the house. My wife's brother was in town and his family from North Dakota.
And oh, the so got outlaws, together with the in-laws.
Yes,
you're the outlaws. The outlaw. Yeah.
But yeah, so we got together with them Monday in Waconia, and we went to the Memorial Day service at the Veterans Park.
Oh, that's great.
There. So yeah. That was cool to see that. And yeah, we had a great weekend. Enjoyed the liberties of the free country we live in. So
exactly. And that's what I said to my wife on Monday. We did, when we took our breaks, we talked about it. We know people in our families that served and gave their life for this freedom. And, you know, Mitch, who used to edit these shows, who has a map company now, you know, he fought alongside people, and some of his friends over there didn't make it, and they died for the freedom we have, right? Yep. And so you have to appreciate that. And yeah. And I do, that's for sure. As I'm sure our listeners do as well. This is, you've got to respect it, and we enjoy this freedom every day, and a lot of people sacrificed their lives for this. So
yeah, and great time to reflect on that and appreciate it, and
yeah,
live every day with that freedom.
Yeah, exactly. And speaking of freedom, retirement.
Yes.
How do you like that transition?
I like it.
We all want to have a happy retirement, and you're going to give us a few habits here. I don't know how many we'll get to today, but I think there's, once your financial plan is solid, people think the rest is going to take care of itself, but there's real work to do on both the financial and non-financial side. And the earlier you start planning it and thinking about it, the better and the happier you'll be, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, and some of these habits will feel intuitive. Others might kind of catch you off guard. But even the ones that seem obvious are often the ones people put off until they're already retired, and then they wish they would have started earlier. So let's go ahead and get through them. Habit one, staying healthy. And I know that sounds basic, but research here is striking. You know, MassMutual study on retirement happiness found that nearly half of the happiest retirees said they made their health a priority when planning for retirement, and not just in retirement, but in advance of retirement.
Sure. And that connection makes sense because, you know, what good is financial security if you don't have the physical capacity to enjoy it? So you have to have your health.
And there's good news for people who haven't been as active as they'd like. There's some research that suggests getting physically active even later in life can significantly reduce your risk of cardiovascular problems. CDC recommends around 150 to 300 minutes of moderate activity per week. That's not a marathon. That's just a walk around the neighborhood most days. Again, so walking 7,500 steps a day, for example, is associated with lower blood pressure, reduces dementia risk, better sleep, improved mood, and options for getting out there are broader than most people think. There's some things like the senior game associations, where there's state level competitions for people 50 and older. Everything from triathlons to tennis and to pickleball. Again, if competition motivates you, that's a real good outlet. You know, there's real principle here is simple, though. The best exercise routine is one that you'll actually enjoy and will keep doing whatever it is for you, whether that's golfing, swimming, hiking, dancing. Just that consistency matters more than the intensity of the workout.
Yeah. Dancing. What do you got planned for retirement there? Speaking of pickleball, I challenge you to a pickleball game. Yeah, you and I, pickleball, that's a challenge. Now, you have to spot me 5 points because of the age difference. I mean, I'm older.
Yeah.
So you're younger and a little speedier. So I think maybe, 5 points sounds about right.
I'm trying to think. We had a pickleball course in high school, and then I did play a couple times since then. So you've probably got the advantage on me, Tony.
Nope. I've only played pickleball. I don't. I've only played pickleball probably 3 times in my life.
All right.
Pickleball, by the way, had not been invented when I was in high school or college. Okay. Pickleball's relatively new. I thought they had pickleball in high school.
Wyndham's pretty advanced down there, a lot more than we're.
Oh, you got me on that one. Holy cow. I don't know. I should have a sound effect. Oh my God. Did I hear you say Wyndham is pretty advanced?
Yes.
Wyndham is pretty advanced down there.
Yeah.
We got to pull that. I'm going to play that sound bite. That'll come back to haunt you probably.
Probably.
That was funny. You got me on that one. Wyndham is pretty advanced. Yeah. New York. California, places, Florida, these places.
Southwest Minnesota, Wyndham.
Southwest really Minnesota, we've got it.
Yeah.
Wyndham, Worthington, Jackson, we've got it going on. All right. So what's the next one?
Yeah, number two is social connection. You know, and this one carries some of the most compelling research. Anything we'll talk about today. The longest running study of adults ever conducted was by a Harvard longevity study. And that concluded that strong relationships are the single biggest predictor of health and happiness in later life. So more than career success and more than diet and exercise.
Wow, that's a bold finding. I mean, I know you hear this, that, hey, it's important to stay socially active in retirement and as you get older. But that really puts it into perspective how important it is.
Yeah, and it cuts both ways. Loneliness is genuinely dangerous. And so, again, another study found that more than a third of older adults experience feelings of loneliness at least once a week. And social isolation has been linked to higher rates of heart disease, dementia, and depression. And so this isn't just feelings issue. It's also a measurable health risk. I actually was just talking to my wife's grandpa. He's 91 years old, and he said he's got to go back and take his driver's test. And he's like, if I don't pass it, like, it's going to be really hard on me because, you know, he drives to play cards and he drives, sure. You know, I don't think he has an issue with, I'm sure he'll pass it. But again, you know, that isolation can be really challenging.
Oh,
yeah. And then when you retire, you lose your colleagues. And so that social scaffolding disappears, and now you have to rebuild it intentionally, or else that gap really grows. So again, rebuilding it takes deliberate effort. Technology can help bridge that a little bit too, with video calls. Makes it easier to stay closer with family and friends who don't live nearby. And so there are even platforms now that let you watch movies or TV in real time with people in different locations, so you can share an experience even though you can't be in the same room.
Wow, that's wild. I didn't know that you could watch. There's platforms that let you watch a movie or a TV show in real time with people in other places, so you can interact with it. But it doesn't happen automatically the way it did at work. I mean, when you're in your working years, you're automatically thrust into constant social interactions.
Yeah.
Almost with any job, there's social interactions. So.
Yeah. You know, and that's a key insight at work. The connection was built into the structure of your day. In retirement, you have to build that structure yourself. You know, the people who don't do that well are the ones that research consistently identify, or that do it well are the ones that research says are the happiest.
Well, and okay, so that's good. What's the next habit?
Yeah, habit three is purpose. You know, and this one might be the most surprising. There's still a cultural image of retirement as total leisure, golf every day, zero responsibilities, you know, nothing on that calendar. And while rest is real and earned, research consistently shows that a sense of meaning is critical to long-term well-being. There was a study done in 2021 that found that a stronger sense of meaning in life was linked to better relationships and lower feelings of loneliness. And then there was another survey done that found that 97% of retirees with a strong sense of purpose reported being happy, compared to 76% of those without one. And so that is a meaningful gap there.
So where do retirees find that purpose? I know it's important to have purpose and to have something to retire to and not just retire from. So where do retirees find that?
Yeah, two big sources of that are going to be work and volunteering. You know, on the work side, people 75 and older are now the fastest growing segment in the workforce, and their numbers have quadrupled since 1964. Some of that is financial because the cost of living is real. But research suggests a significant share of older workers are staying engaged simply because they want to. Again, for that purpose, the structure, the contribution, and identity that comes with it. It doesn't automatically disappear because you stop needing a paycheck. And then there's the volunteering side. You know, platforms are out there that let you search by city and interest area, including anything from animals to arts, literacy. And seniors can even create a profile so organizations can find you based on your background and skills. And so, again, it's a practical tool for people who want to contribute but aren't sure where to start. Most communities do have a need for volunteers, and so the opportunities are almost anywhere. A lot of retirees here in the Belle Plaine area, I know, work at the food shelf here in town, volunteer a lot at their churches. And so, again, volunteering is important to have that purpose. The next habit here is never stop learning. Ongoing education has that mental stimulation that's believed to help maintain cognitive function and may reduce the risk of dementia. Another study here described mental exercise as activating processes that help maintain the brain cells and strengthen connections between them. And so again, the options are wide open here. Learn an instrument, take a community college class. Some universities offer free courses through online platforms. Or reduce tuition for seniors. And I'm not talking high school seniors. I'm talking high school or senior citizens.
Yeah.
So again, libraries have free audiobooks as well that you can look at, or people that do crosswords puzzles. It shows that it helps delay onset of accelerated memory decline and dementia. And so again, the consistent principle here is just to keep your brain working on new things. And again, it doesn't have to be formal education. It could be learning a new card game, picking up a second language through an app, finally going deep in a subject you've always wanted to learn more about but never had time for. And so the goal is, again, novelty and engagement, and giving your brain something that generally has to work at. And that's what drives the benefit.
It feeds back into that social piece, too, that you talked about earlier. A class at a community center isn't just mental stimulation. It's also a room full of people with similar interests. So that fulfills the social interaction side as well.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. These habits don't exist in isolation. They are reinforced by each other. Learning leads to social connection, which reinforces that purpose, which supports optimism, which brings us to habit five. Habit five is optimism, and that's where research gets generally fascinating from a health standpoint. A study published found that highly optimistic people were significantly less to suffer heart attacks and other cardiovascular events and had lower overall mortality rate than pessimistic counterparts. There was another study done that found that optimistic women had 50% greater chance of living to age 85, and optimistic men had 70% greater chance. And so those are some remarkable numbers just from something that can feel like a personality trait.
Right. And it can feel like a personality trait, but it's not just a trait you're born with, right?
Yeah, that is the key point. Optimism can be developed. Research shows that consciously reframing situations in a positive light, surrounding yourself with optimistic people, taking breaks from news cycles when it's dragging you down, it can shift the way your brain actually processes things. I'm a pretty optimistic guy. Yeah. And so every once in a while, something will happen. And, I'll tell my wife, like, hey, Ashton, you didn't wipe the mirror off after you got done brushing your teeth or whatever, And I'll say, hey, you should be thankful you have somebody to wipe the mirror off after. you got to spin things on the positive
yeah,
side
not,
there.
No, that's, yeah, I like how you, that's positive for you,
yeah.
I suppose. Yeah, I see.
Again, we don't watch a lot of
optimism your wife's looking for, though. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, we don't watch a lot of news in our household because it is a lot of pessimism there.
Oh, yeah. Negativity.
We talk about, I read a book called Every Day is a Friday by Joel Osteen.
Oh, yes. Joel Osteen. Yeah.
Yeah. And talks about, hey, every day, instead of dreading a Monday, we should treat every day as a Friday because everybody looked forward to Friday.
Yeah.
So again, it's just reframing that picture and its measurable downstream effects on physical health. But before we go any further, let me give you my contact information. Best way to get a hold of us here is call our office, 952-873-2703. Again, that number is 952-873-2703. Visit us online at PankoninFinancial.com. That's PankoninFinancial.com. Scheduling a consultation only takes a few minutes, and we're always happy to work around your schedule.
All right. So what is habit number six, Ashton?
Number six is gratitude. And this closely resembles optimism, but it's distinct in an interesting way. Studies by some psychologists have found that people who make a practice of counting their blessings had a more positive outlook, reported fewer physical ailments, exercised more, and were more likely to help others. So gratitude also tends to reduce materialism. People who practice consistently reporting being more satisfied with what they have, which means less chasing the next purchase and has real financial implications in retirement.
Yeah. How do you actually build that habit?
Yeah. So one of the ways is to journal. That's just a few minutes a day, writing down a handful of things you're grateful for. They can be big, small, can be a professional milestone, good conversation, even your morning coffee. Over time, it's going to shift your baseline. Psychological research suggests that putting gratitude to paper can produce real mental and physical benefits, greater self-esteem, better sleep, improved heart health. And those aren't abstract outcomes. Those are things you can feel every day. So if writing isn't your thing, just even speaking it out loud works too. Using an audio note on your phone or even just talking through it on your walk in the morning engages language centers of the brain in a meaningful way. So the form doesn't matter as much as just the consistency.
Yeah. I think gratitude is a big one. I think, we all need to be more grateful, and gratitude is something we should all work on. I like that one. I'm glad you brought it up. How about habit number seven?
Yeah, the next one is pets. I know pets. You talked about making your cats a screened-in porch there.
Yeah.
But it's more compelling than people might expect. One study found that older dog owners who walk their dogs at least once a day got 20% more physical activity than people without dogs and spent 30 fewer minutes being sedentary every day.
Oh, yeah. I believe it. We have a dog as well. And yeah, it's what gets my wife and I doing what we walk every day because we have to walk the dog.
Yeah. And then, you know, it also suggests that owning cats or dogs may help slow cognitive decline. And so there's a companionship factor that's real, too, because the bond with a pet can provide a level of daily emotional support that generally rivals human interaction in terms of psychological benefit. And so if owning a dog full time isn't practical, fostering is an option. There's many shelters around that have programs where you can take a dog on a day trip. And that socialization for the dog and real health benefits for you with no long-term commitment. So again, the companionship a pet provides can generally be meaningful. And for people living alone, it can make a real difference in that day-to-day mood and motivation.
I can't say enough about it. We love having pets and our dog and cats. It's great. I would agree. And now it's time for lucky number 8. I don't know why 8 is lucky.
I don't know either. Yeah. 8 balls now.
Lucky number 8. They always say that though.
Following the science on healthy aging, the point here specifically isn't about any specific diet, trend, or supplement. It's about being smart, discerning consumer of health information. There's all kinds of noise out there, and research has shown that older adults are disproportionately exposed to health misinformation online, or even my dad watches a lot of the free TV and the infomercials that come on.
My dad does too, and he's like,
the amount of stuff he's ordered that is supposed to cure every ailment.
My dad called me, should I order this? And I looked at it and I go, no, that's a scam, Dad. You don't want to order that. It's worthless. So
a good rule of thumb here is that if a new study with a small sample size seems to overturn decades of solid peer-reviewed research, approach it with real skepticism and always loop in your doctor. And again, for some of these older people, maybe ask your kids about it even. Again, just to see if it's a scam or not. And again, what solid research does tell us, a 2023 study of 276,000 U.S. veterans representing over 1 million persons' years of data identified 8 habits that taken together could add more than 2 decades to a person's life. And this list includes being physically active, not smoking, managing stress, eating well, avoiding regular binge drinking, good sleep hygiene, maintaining positive social relationships, and then being free from opioid dependency.
Yeah. I got the last two.
Yeah.
No, I'm good on that list. I'm good. And those themes of physical activity and like we've been talking about the whole show, you've mentioned social connections and activities and managing stress. They keep coming up. They're not independent variables. They all intertwine.
Yeah, they do compound each other, which is actually one of the more helpful findings in all of this. You know, when you start building one good habit, it tends to support the others. Exercise improves mood, which supports optimism, which supports relationships, which reinforces purpose. And so again, it's a system, not necessarily a checklist. And that means that you don't have to get all 8 right at once to start seeing benefits. Progress in one area tends to create momentum in others. One more thing worth flagging here is dental, vision, and hearing health often get overlooked. And the real research here is tying unmanaged hearing loss and vision problems can increase dementia risk.
Wow.
And so we actually experienced this with my grandma. The worse her hearing got, the more she seemed to start to have issues with her memory. And so, you know, regular checkups across the board aren't just about comfort. They're also part of a long-term picture.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, let's jump into number 9. And I think this one's counterintuitive.
Yeah, it is. The 9th habit is about what not to do. Don't chase happiness directly. Psychologists at Yale had found that when people make happiness the primary goal or the thing they're explicitly pursuing, it tends to backfire. Expectations inflate, reality falls short, and people end up less satisfied than if they'd been fixating that because they hadn't been fixating on it.
Yeah, just work on these things individually and it'll build over time. And what's the alternative?
Everything we've talked about today, relationships, exercise, purpose, learning, gratitude, happiness tends to emerge as a byproduct of meaningful engagement and not as something you can just decide to have. So the key takeaway is this right here. Instead of asking, am I happy? Maybe ask, am I building the kind of life that happiness comes from? That's a more useful question. And the 9 habits we've covered today are practical answers to it.
Yeah. Well, the big question, though, that's left is, how does all this, everything we've talked about today, connect to what you do, Ashton, as a financial services professional?
Yeah, in a real and practical way, a seasoned financial professional isn't just managing assets. They're helping clients build a retirement that supports this kind of life by thinking about healthcare cost, income sustainability, how to structure withdrawals so money isn't the source of stress in your 70s and 80s. Again, when a financial plan is solid, you free up the mental and emotional bandwidth for everything else we've talked about today. Money is the foundation. What you build on it is the whole point. So think about it this way. You spend decades of building up your savings, making careful decisions, staying disciplined, and all of that is in service of a life that's worth living when the alarm stops going off every morning for work. So again, the habits we talked about today help fill that life. And again, working with a financial professional who knows your full situation, monitors your plan, adjusts as your life changes is part of what makes it possible for you to focus on the rest. A lot of times we talk about what keeps you up at night. Again, we don't want anything, especially on our financial side, being the concern that keeps us up at night. And so when you're not worried about whether the numbers are holding up, you have the mental space to invest in your health, your relationships, your sense of purpose. Those things don't just happen by accident, but they also don't require a perfect plan either. They require intention and some structure as well. So that's exactly the kind of conversation we love having with people, not just about portfolios, distributions, about what retirement is actually supposed to look like for them. You know, so what does a day look like? Well, what are you looking forward to in retirement? What are you maybe a little bit nervous about? Those questions do matter. And to have someone in your corner who can help you through both the financial and the personal side of this transition is very valuable.
It is. So remind listeners how to reach you before we wrap up.
Of course. You know, if anything we've talked about today raised questions about your own retirement picture, we'd love to sit down with you. I know not everything was financial here today, but, you know, best way to get a hold of us is to give us a call, 952-873-2703. Again, that number is 952-873-2703, or visit us online to schedule a complimentary consultation. That website is pankoninfinancial.com, P-A-N-K-O-N-I-N, financial. We're always glad to take a closer look at your specific situation.
All right. Sounds great. Thank you so much, Ashton. Listeners, thanks for tuning in. That does it for today's episode of the Pankinen Financial Perspective with our host, Ashton Pankinen.
Thank you for joining us for Pankinen Financial Perspective. Don't head into retirement without a plan for both your finances and your health. For more information, contact Ashton Pankinen at Pankinen Financial Group at 952-873-2703 or visit PankinenFinancialGroup.com. Join us again soon for another episode of Pankinen Financial Perspective. Advisory services are offered by Ashton Pankinen, LLC, DBA Pankinen Financial Group, an investment advisor in the state of Minnesota.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.